My name's Tim, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tim.
Got one last reading, and then our featured speaker, rise to the occasion. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker. And we believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. I was fortunate to be at the How It Works meeting a few weeks back, and our speaker Mike picked up a 20-year chip. I told him if he could tell our group what he said when he picked up the chip, it'd be well worthwhile. I know he can't remember what he said, but we got him on the spot. Welcome, Mike. Michael.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm a recovering alcoholic now. It really works if you work it, but it's not a spectator sport. You have to put in order to achieve survival. I was born in early 60s, and I come from a pretty good family. My mom went to work, my dad went to work, you know, pretty normal household. Early on, I found that I was a little bit different, you know. I always wanted to do one more. You know, if it was time to come in the house, I wanted to skate down the street one more time. If it was time to do anything, I needed to do it just one more time. But I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, well, I'm just a pretty active young man. So I grow up, I go to school, I don't really get in much trouble. I started experimenting with alcohol in high school, about the 10th grade. Right off the bat, I had found my new partner. You know, we were going to do some things together. And I proceeded to graduate from high school and got a scholarship to college. And what the hell they do that for? There was no parents around, so we put the whole tub full of ice and beer. You know, I never had this kind of freedom. So I guess that's when the cat kind of jumped out of the bag. But during my childhood years, there was a few things that kind of stuck out. You know, I got molested. But through this program, I was able to work through that because, hell, I ain't being molested now. You know, that ain't tried now. You know, I was a kid. So, you know, I got past that through working the steps. And I had tried Alcoholics Anonymous right out of college in the 80s. And I knew right away it would work. But I was young. I knew the spiritual connection was there and that it would work. So I wasn't ready to stop. I was like 22 or some shit like that. I still had the whole world to conquer. So at 23, I joined the United States Army. There I go all over again. I think beer was 35 cent a can. It was a fucking machine right outside the barracks. And it was legal. So I took off again. And I kind of stumbled uphill. Had a pretty good military career. Got hurt pretty bad. I'm 100% disabled veteran now. And when I came home in 92, all the smoke had kind of settled. There was no obstacles to climb. Then I just had to deal with me. So we just dealing with, there's no more college, there's no more sports to play, there's no more games to do, there's no more shows I could put on. You know, I had to deal with me one day at a time. And I found myself in a vicious, addictive cycle. I was bored out of my gourd one day, and I was looking at TV, and the Georgia School of Bartending came on. What another fucking bright idea. I go to Georgia School of Bartending and become the bar manager. Those folks ain't never get the chef's reading. That shit got watered down. You know, it was just a vicious cycle. Everything in my life centered around drinking or getting high, being my mind being altered. I came to NAVA and was downstairs at a 7:30 meeting. This was back in the early 90s. And it worked. But what I didn't do was what the program said. I did it my way, like I've always done. I read the book, but I didn't get a sponsor, so I lasted about 6 months. And after those 6 months, I went back out, and I stayed out for 3 years. And I came back, and when I came back, I got a sponsor, but I didn't read the book. See how I was tricking myself? You know, I'm going to do this shit, but I'm going to do it how I want to do it. So 6 more months came together. And I went back out. So when I went back out this last time, I ended up in jail. And I stayed in jail for 8 days, which was long enough for me. You know, I didn't think I needed to be in jail to validate who I was. So once I got out of jail, I came home and kind of farted around a little bit and went to the VA, joined the program in 97, and I haven't looked back. But how I got where I am today is really a one day at a time, coming to a lot of meetings. I got a sponsor with the working knowledge of the steps, and I worked the steps in chronological order. Just like the book said, by the time I got to step 10, the obsession was actually gone. My step 4 was about 4 months though, because I kept giving half truths, and he kept telling me, you gotta be kidding me. You know, you did way more shit than that, you know, and you never drunk just 2 beers, or you never just, you know, didn't do a little bit, you always did a lot. So, through the process of meeting Makers Making, coming to NAVA, in the 90s, I came every day, rain, sleet, or snow, it didn't matter. I drank every day before I got here, so there was no excuse. Oh, it's raining, what the fuck, give me a coat, I'm gone, you know what I mean? There was no excuse. I had to treat my sobriety the exact same way. And I had to come at it with all I had because I seen where it was going to be the demise of me. You know, I wouldn't pay bills. I wouldn't go home. I was completely dishonest. If someone trusted me, I would steal their shit. I was just, you know, a completely unreliable adult. You know, I was just unreliable. You know, my addiction was so bad that when I would get paid on Fridays, I would have to get a money order and mail it back to myself. Otherwise, what shit gonna get paid at the house? You know, that's how bad I was tricking myself. I would have to get a money order, get an envelope, and mail it back to myself because I wasn't going home. I'd see y'all Monday afternoon after I come from work. You know, that was the pattern. That's how bad my addiction was. So through these rooms and this program, it really, really worked. I don't know if I'm supposed to take up an hour with my story because, hell, when he invited me to be a blue chip speaker, you know, I was just kind of like, what the hell is that, you know? Then I realized blue chip, you know, got a few of those, you know, but my story is really, really not unique. But the most important person in the room is what I was told was a newcomer, you know? That person that's looking, that's not sure. Because when I first came to NAVA, I knew the spirituality part of it, but I couldn't quite understand other people's theories because it wasn't coming out of the book. You know, I needed to be tuned in what was in the book. Because everybody in here is smart. Don't fool yourself. Everybody in here got a hell of an opinion about a lot of different shit, so you got to be careful, you know, about other people's opinions and how they work their program, because it's contingent on my spiritual maintenance, you know. I have to stay connected, and it's a few things that I've been doing since 97, and one is getting on my knees every morning, just a simple prayer, and getting on my knees every night, and I've been able to stay clean and sober through deaths, murders, bankruptcies, you name it. No matter what, I just don't see how a drink will fix it. You know, it was so, it's such a relief to not be in that vicious cycle. This shit is such easy right here. When I first came, the Cheers was orange. You know, it's been a while. You know, and I used to come to Napa religiously, but I live in Stockbridge now, and so, but that's no excuse, because I was drinking or whatever. And the best bar is over here, and shit, I would get here. Even if I had to treat the Uber driver instead of, I'd be right back. Yeah, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do what I need to do so I can take care of my addiction. So I just say to everyone out here, the program really, really works. But you cannot be a spectator. You have to participate. You got to put some work in it in order to get something out of it. You know, you have to, I mean, I go to other groups and someone shared in the other group, you're going to mess up, but no matter what, just don't take a drink. You know? I mean, if I take a drink, my problem is going to swim, you know. And then after the problem swims, I'm still right back looking at me in the mirror. And then I got to start all over again. I got to reconnect spiritually. And then I got to go through all this shame and all this guilt when it's easy to just pick up the phone and call somebody. They probably don't want to hear that shit no way. But if you call them, they'll listen. And by them just participating through the phone and listening, it'll give you the relief that you need to just get to a meeting, and then it's up to you. You know, but the program of Alcoholics Anonymous has really worked. I didn't think I would stay clean and sober this long. I just came to try to get some relief. I really didn't know that this was a lifelong process. You know, I thought maybe after 4 or 5 years, you know, shit would get better. But I stuck around long enough, and some of the people that went through treatment with me, they're going in and out, and it teaches me what to do and what not to do. You know, no matter what, I can't take a drink. But if I take a drink, all bets off. You know, I'm not going to pay anybody. I'm not going to do any of this good shit. I'm not going to be there for my daughter's track meets. I'm not going to be that good son to my mom. I'm not going to be reliable to my friends. And I'm not going to show up to this speaking meeting right here. I'm going to be somewhere, you know, with an excuse. So I don't know any other way to put it that won't be a lie. It's just that it's a simple program, but I'm not a simple person. I'm very analytical. You know, I've read everybody's mind here at least 3 or 4 times. And I know everybody over here, I'm thinking for real. You know, got this section pegged and all of them. Got everybody in the room pegged out. You know what I mean? Even the gentleman with his hand on his nose right there. I got everybody knocking. Exactly how many steps to that door. I already know how many that is from the military. It's just stuff like that that just automatically comes into play with me. So if I'm that screwed up, I damn sure can't take a drink. You know, and I haven't even taken one, but that's how my brain works. You know, it works the total opposite. I believe if you put it in a bird, it will fly backwards. And not miss a beat. You know, I mean, just make it do what it do, you know. I've had a lot of fun in sobriety, and I've seen a lot of people just buck the program. And I really don't understand. One guy told me, he said, shit, Mike, if you stay clean, I know I can stay clean. This was someone who was in the addiction with me. I was just a real stinker. You know, people would not really want me in their house. You know, I haven't been in a bar since I was a bar manager. You know, I actually give them hell if I pour liquor, you know. It just wasn't going to ever be enough. So I want to babble. Is there anything anybody out here need to share about? Does anybody feel like they're going to take a drink? I'm sorry my story was so short. I don't know. I need to take up some more time, something. You know. I mean, you think so? Okay, Mark. Mark says that he's taking some more time. Well, in working the steps, really, I was able to come to grips with some real personal stuff. like my father died when I was 16, right when we was having a basketball game, was playing Northside High School, and I quit school. I didn't play that night, but I never went back to school until the next school year started. And I must have been pretty smart when I got all C's, or you know, they wanted me to play again. I don't know which one it was. But anyway, I stumbled through life looking for a data boy from everybody. I had never put his death to rest until I went in treatment in 97. And when I got to my father's figure, I really couldn't say anything because I hadn't put it to rest. So that was one of the cornerstones in my recovery. I cleared up enough, and I could see clear enough that I was trying to hold on to something that I didn't have no control over. You know, the man died, okay? I lived, but at 16, that was kind of hard. You know, it just took me for a loop. And that probably is why I excelled in sports, because he used to read my name in the paper all the time and encourage me, but he was gone. So I had to replace him by overdoing it. I was a very good people pleaser. I would cut your grass, rake your leaves, and do all the good shit in the neighborhood, but I would be in the basement, stoned, screwed up, because I never was able to take it. So I think that's why I excelled, raised my hand in the military, jumped out of helicopters, took all those crazy-ass missions that I wouldn't take now. But at the time, I didn't have any fear because I was lost. And through the process of recovery, I was able to put my father's death to rest. And since I was able to put his death to rest, I've not had a reason to relapse or do anything other than take the acronym, face everything, and recover. I no longer had to run. There's only three of us. That was my granddad, my dad, and me. So I'm the last wreath off that tree. So when my father died, I really felt like, you know, what am I to do? And I guess, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was through this program of Alcoholics Anonymous that I was drawn to my spiritual connection. See, all the accolades, third, fourth, Oak Leaf Clover, standing in front of the tavern, playing ball on TV, running with the, you know, the upper echelon, didn't fix me. None of that fixed me. I think if I had made it as a professional athlete, I would have been one of those druggies or somebody who fucking bombed out. I just didn't, you know, because I never was able to really put what was bothering me to rest. And through this program, I've been able to really get some clarity and understanding, because through prayer and meditation, I do have moments of clarity. It's like, for me, in my program, if I don't get something right, I keep seeing it over and over again. You know, it could be in another form. Hell, I could be watching TV, and what's on TV could not make no sense. But if I sit there and pay attention, I can see some similarities in almost anything that's in God's creation. So I've learned to not to overreact, but try to stay in the process, because it's based on progress, not perfection. We're never going to be perfect. You know, well, I don't think I'll ever be perfect. I don't want to be perfect, because if I'm perfect, I'm going to go try and do some more shit and see if I'm really perfect. If I get away with that, I've got some more shit, some more shit, and then it'll go again. You know, so it's just the toolbox and understanding. And I know everybody in here ain't probably don't be there, go through the road rage like I do, but ain't a damn thing I can do about her, because she won't go fast. You know, he put his turn signal on at the last minute. Hell, I don't know what he got going on. He might just have death. You know, she could be having a nervous breakdown. Fuck, I don't know. You know, one of the worst things I've been to hate is to be in the grocery store and Women don't y'all get mad. They put them big old pocketbooks up there, and they turn it one way, then they turn it another way. Like, you know, you come to the grocery store, she said, well, you see how good you pay, you know. You know what I mean? You know, but I mean, in the program, I have to hold my space and just say, damn, look at them, you know. I mean, most people know when they go to the store, they're going to spend some money buying checks right a car. You've been spending a lot of 15 minutes. It's your turn. Wait. I'm like, when did she get here? You know, 20 people behind me, like, goddamn, you know. But, you know, early on, my sponsor told me to get in line and practice some patience. And I did that. You know, and so when I see people not turning when I think they ought to turn, or not, you know, doing something I think they ought to do, it, that means I need to slow down. I don't know what they got going on. She could have been just prescribed some Wellbutrin and some Paxil. I don't know what she had. I don't know what she had, you know what I mean? I just got to stay in my lane and don't push. You know, because, you know, everybody got their own idiosyncrasies, and theirs are not mine, and mine are not theirs. So I just have to kind of go slow and rein myself in, you know. It's a lot of day-to-day things that are really funny to me, but I don't say nothing, you know, because that's just my opinion. It's, you know, it's the way I see the world, and the way the other people see the world. That's theirs. But I'm sure none of y'all have that road rage or experience none of that. Especially in Walmart, Kroger. You know, it's like a job. You just want to get some toothpaste. You know what I mean? So, you know, this program has important me to have a sense of humor and some real moments of clarity. You know, and as far as judging people, I mean, who'd have thought 20 years ago I'd be standing here, a blue chip speaker, looking at all. Tupelo Street off County Road by East Lake Golf Course. Be up here with 20 years of sobriety. You know, I didn't plan this. I never lived this many days in a row as an adult, clean and sober. So how the hell do I know what's going on? So I had to check in throughout the day, because what I just told y'all is the truth. That's how my mind really runs. And I don't even have to put no key to it. Then I'm going to just take off. And I wake up in the morning, you know. I get something, I don't even read instructions for what? You know, damn instructions. Let me look at it, I got it. You know what I'm saying? So, this program has taught me to slow down and enjoy the process. You know, steps are in chronological order. So, I should slow down, take a deep breath, and not try to drive the bus, because it was my driving that kept me sick, you know. But I wouldn't even, boy, my grandmama had died, I couldn't even make it down. You know, that's how messed up I was. The lady was dead, I did ain't got down. I've only been gone for 2 days. So, you know, it's just a miracle. That's why I say you have to participate. You got to be willing to clean up your side of the street. That's all I could do. You know, when I had 6 months spring, one of my family members, he bust my little bubble. He said, oh, motherfucker, you ain't gonna stay clean. That's his name, bro. I thought you were in cheering me on. You know, anyway, you did this shit to me. You just fooling everybody. You just want another car. you want somebody to help you out again. You know, so. God bless me, he's passed on, because he never got out of his addiction, but I got out of mine. You know, so you have to let people instead live and let live, and you really have to. Because if I get on your side of the street, I can't keep myself together. You know, so I'm sure I got some more stuff in 20 years of sobriety. Family is, for the newcomers, I just had to stay close to the program, but they couldn't understand. My mom's not an addicted person, and my dad was, he died. So my grandmother wasn't, my grandfather wasn't, so they really couldn't understand what planet I was from. You know, like, well, you can't just quit. You can't just have one. The fuck you mean one? You know, no, I can't just have one. I can't just quit. So I had to get a God of my understanding. Because I understood that my family didn't understand me. And I didn't want to set myself up with expectations, thinking when I got 3 years of sobriety, my mom was going to say, oh, come and give me a little baby. You know, she got 36 months. She don't know anything about this. You know, she really knows. She's 80 years old. She don't know anything about it. She's just happy to have her son back. You know, and I probably took her to so many nights where she couldn't sleep and she couldn't understand what the hell happened to this little boy that I raised that went to school, didn't get in no trouble. This motherfucker won't go to bed at night. You know, he won't come to the house. You know, he's been out 5 days and nobody's heard from him. You know, so the family really gets hurt. Well, mine did for my addiction, but with a few 24 hours in the program, you know, she calls me down. You know, and ask me stuff like, you bring me a cup of coffee. And I really know what that's about. She just wants to see her son. You know, I take her that cup of coffee. I'm real happy to do it for her because I'm dependable today. Before, she wouldn't have asked me to do anything. So the program is like I've been reborn again. You know, I have a whole new perspective on life as long as I stay out of the way. You know, because I'm very analytical and I'll treat myself into thinking some shit that ain't true. And the more I treat myself, someone told me we relapse before we relapse. So each time I treat myself, I'm getting closer and closer to trying to do some stuff I know I can't do successfully. I can't drink successfully. I can't. It doesn't work. It just, I change. You guys, when you want to be around me, I'm talking about for real, y'all should say, oh, hell no, this motherfucker had to go right here. Because it's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It does something to me. I break out and it's bad. It's real bad. So whenever I go to a meeting and people share, I try to look for the positive and the similarities, you know, because I'm no different. Trust me, I'm just no different, you know. It's an obsession, you know. And through the program and working the steps, I did experience a moral psychic change. Through working the steps, I did experience a moral psychic change. I played sports all my life. That's what kept me out of trouble. And I was on a team at like 9 months clean when we won the championship. That was the hardest walk in that store, that fucking can of course, like it was as big as that wall back there. And the Gatorade was like about that big. And the guy said, you really have a struggle picking up that Gatorade. That's what I did. And I paid for it. That was real big for me in recovery, to be able to walk in the store after I won a game and not drink beer and celebrate. You know, just get a water or a Gatorade, you know. Not a beer, not one. Just don't do anything. Just get the water and the Gatorade and leave. That's real big. And I had a couple of other incidents where I had a large sum of money in my pocket one time. And the moon looked like it was right in front of me. I broke out of a cold sweat. The dude would say, man, what the fuck going on? I said, I don't know, but I pulled over and I called my sponsor. He said, what's going on? I said, shit, I got about $8,000 in my pocket. What the fuck you doing with $8,000 on Friday night? He said, why don't you go into the room and call me? I'm in the halfway house. And I got there and he was laughing. He said, what you take over your life? I said, I don't know. He said, you got $8,000 in your pocket. You relapsed, but we relapsed. Why don't you give that money to somebody to sing you? I said, I ain't trust that man with my damn money. Motherfucker about to get somewhere. No, I ain't giving this money. I got this money. So just so happened, the guy who ran the program after came by, and I gave him the money, but you know, I was right there that morning at 8:45 and did it. Still there to the bank, but you know, and as long as it's little stuff like that, you know, I was able to really catch some of my triggers, you know, because this thing is real cunning, baffling, and powerful. It really is, you know. So I'm kind of
doing good.
I'm trying. You know, I didn't rehearse this. You know,
how about a little run down of the steps, Mike?
How about it, Miss Tampoy?
Yeah.
Hey, on the wall. You and I. You know, there's a lot of people here I know from my early days in recovery. You know, every guy back there with his mustache, looked like a biker. I remember him, Miss Downport, and Miss Judy. You know, pretty other faces over here, Mark. This is a great clubhouse. You know, NABA really got some good sobriety. You know, I've been coming here for 20 plus years, and I don't see anything wrong with it because the program works. I see some of the same faces that I've been seeing for quite some time, so it lets me know I'm kind of doing some of the things in the right direction. But here again, you know, the way my brain works, you know, y'all brain probably don't work like that. So I'm either all the way to the left, all the way to the right, only through AA, am I able to be down the center and kind of look at things from a different perspective. Most of the time, I'm very opinionated, and I, you know, it's either my way or the highway. You know, I don't really need a ride because I got a car. You know what I'm saying? So, fuck you, I'm gone. You know, but that wasn't going to last. That wasn't how I was going to stay clean and sober. You know, I had to open up, let somebody get to know me, share about some real stuff. You know, don't be superficial. You know, I was the run-of-the-mill alcoholic. You know, I wasn't special. You know, I drank alcohol at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning just to keep the buzz going. You know, this is the Bulls 24-hour state. Y'all don't know nothing about that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I take a little sip of rub and alcohol, you know, take the bite off, to take the edge off. You know, when they open up in the morning, be one of the first ones in there, you know. And knock the shakes off and keep it moving, you know. So, this program, it seems complicated. You know, there were a lot of people that helped me, but they died out. When I went to Charlie Peachford, a guy, 12-stepped me, and I don't remember nothing he said. I really don't. You know, I had good insurance, had a good job. I really don't hear that shit. I really didn't. I was hoping he'd leave so I could eat and go back to sleep. But I saw him again, and he became my sponsor. And I understood what he was doing. You know, he was doing just what the book said. You know, he was reaching out for the hopeless because that was a pretty bad case. I probably don't look like I never took a drink, but boy, you know, we do transform back. You know, the steps are very important. They really are. You know, I think trust God, clean house, and work with others. Would that be right, Ms. Allen? Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, because that's the way it was taught to me. You know, you have to implement them on a daily basis. This is definitely not a spectator sport. You have to participate. Because at some point, the rubber is going to meet the road. You know, you can be walking down the street and walking your dog and looking at a beautiful couple of birds. And motherfucker might ride by. And after they ride by, the session to take a drink might come out of nowhere. Where the hell did this come from? Where did these people come from? What did they do? What did they bring? They brought nothing. It's my psyche where I'm at. You know, I have to recalibrate me on a daily basis and make sure I'm aware
of what's going on and what's happening around me. You know, it's very common, Dr. Pop. I know a lot of people that have had lots of times, and they go back and the first thing I ask them, what happened? And everyone said the same thing. They lost their spiritual connection. They just gave it up. That's the only thing that sustains me on a daily basis. You know? Because like I say, I never drank any Mexican beer. But this damn commercial where that guy says Dos Equis. I'm hearing this shit sound like you really have arrived, Dos Equis. I'm not dying that. But that's how the disease progresses. You know, out of nowhere. Fine for effect. I don't need that. But I'm just saying, that's when you know that this stuff is cunning, vibrant, and powerful. You have to stay prayed up on a daily basis because it will. You know, I was in my old neighborhood and I crossed Memorial Drive and it hit me like a bolt of light. I'm like, what the fuck? Not today, buddy. Make sure my seatbelt was on. Turn the radio on and let the windows down. That's about it for the day. You know, it'll just pop up. You know, and I pray that morning and I sure pray that night. But it comes, you know, it comes in all forms. We the only defense against it is your spiritual maintenance. You know, a lot of people might not believe in whatever they believe in, but just keep coming back. More will be revealed. You know, you will come to some type of moment of clarity where you realize that something else has been carrying you the whole time. And it wasn't your checkbook. It wasn't your good looks. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm just real grateful that this building is still here. I kind of miss the orange chairs. You know, and, you know, it's just a great place. It's a great program. And it really works. So I'm home. Go sit down.
My car. That was really great.
Yeah.
You got a second win, and then a third win. Cool breeze. Okay, Kat's going to get out of church.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, I'm Kat. I'm an alcoholic. And at Napa and a lot of other places around here, we give out chips to mark our time in sobriety. If you are coming in or coming back, we have a white chip. Anybody picking up? After 30 days or 30 nights, we have a picking up a chip. After 30 days or 30 nights, we have a silver chip. After 3 months or 90 days, we have a red chip. After six months, we have a yellow chip. Stop. We have a green chip for 9 months, and after years or multiples thereof, we have blue chips. Anybody picking up?
Hey,
John. Grace of God gave me a willingness and honesty and open mindedness to, you know, go through the process that my sponsor put me through. And I was and reaping the benefits when I really didn't agree or understand. All right, please. Thank you.
So again, I'm Kat. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Kat.
And this is Frank. I'm sure 99.99% of you guys know him. I call him Dad because he's been more of a father to me than my own father. And he also knows some things about me that, you know, make me laugh while I'm trying to give out the chips. He's got a great program. He has played a major part in my sobriety. I know I wouldn't be standing here. You know, I've told him that. He's done so much for me, and he's done so much for other people and for this clubhouse and for this game that I don't think anybody really knows about. Some people see it, but they don't really know. And, you know, stuff that he's done for me in my life and being there for me during some really bad times, but he's also been there for me with some really good times. And without this man, I don't know what I would have done.
It's okay.
I love you.
I love you too.
He had a good weekend, you know. I'm Frank Waters, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. This is 28. And I got sober at somebody because they told me that I wasn't going to make it. She spoke yesterday at the Alzheimer's meeting. Turns out she was my third sponsor's wife. I stayed because it was more camaraderie here in the fellowship. It reminded me of the Marine Corps to some degree. You know, Uncle Sam's misguided children, well, basically, you know, it's a very dysfunctional family. So I was just stubborn. And I found a power greater than me. And I had to become willing to change everything. You know, and that was just change all my shit. And that was simply how I think. And that was very hard. You know, surrender to win is not the Marine Corps motto. But through a lot of what my sponsor used to call white knuckle sobriety, stubbornness, you know, I've been referred to as being pleasantly caustic. I've made it to this point, and it's because of the people in the rooms. If you're new to the rooms, don't think I'm not talking about you, because you know you're new now, and one day you won't be. You're here filling the seat. And if you want to see those orange chairs, you can go over to Clarkston or Heavy Hitters.
Yeah, they are.
Because that's why I donated those chairs. But appreciate this. Thank you.
You reconsider some white chips? All right, take that from the chip
He wanted to pick up a white chip.
Come on.
Anybody else? One day you can sit down there and you can come up and pick up a chip and have some chick cry over you as well. So, anyway, thank God for the chip.
Good decision on that white chip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a life and death decision. Choose to live. You can do that every day. And Frank is my huggy bear. So y'all give Frank a hug before you leave tonight. The line forms right across there.
If the river keep a rising, water gonna overflow. If that river keep a rising, flood water gonna overflow. Just like that old river, baby, it's my time to go.